point, sometimes you watch the news, you know, and you just want to, don't you just want to close your eyes and just shut your ears? You know, sometimes my little ones, when the other one's talking, saying something they don't want to hear, they'll go da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And sometimes I just want to do that. But, you know, on the other hand, you've got some people, and they'll say, I don't watch the news at all. Listen, you have to. Sometimes don't soak yourself in it. Okay, you can only take so much. In fact, if you only watch one news broadcast a day, that'd be more than enough because they tell the same thing all day long. So, but the Bible told us, Jesus said it himself, in fact. He said, watch and pray. So we don't just pray, but we pay attention to what's going on. Because if you don't, you might get tricked into something, okay? So I try to keep us alert in here. And so we got to watch and pray, church. But there just seems like, you know, I've done a lot of funerals in the past couple of years. I'll say a lot, even this year. And it's so refreshing when you do a funeral service or a memorial for a person that knew God and they loved him and they served him and they walked with him. And then when you do one for somebody that never in their life went to church or maybe went when they were a kid, never went back, and then they find out they're dying, and 2 or 3 months before they die, they get spiritual, and then you go see the family, and you don't know that, and then they tell you how awesome, and the person was awesome, but how spiritual they are, okay? So I told somebody yesterday, I don't preach them into heaven, but I do give that life significance, because everybody's life counts. I mean, it just counts. And so, but you know what I find out is, today, and y'all know this, you know this, today it's like the Christian life or the Christian walk has almost become just a title. I'm a Christian. Okay, sometimes I just want to say, well, what does that mean to you? I'm a Christian. And it's almost like, well, it's just a title, because statistics will be way up here of the people in America that are Christian. Well, they probably believe in God, but are they a Christian? Are they living for Jesus? Are they serving him? So, and the more that you hear that, I'm a Christian, yet they'll say this, I just live life on my own terms. Okay, I do things the way I feel. And sometimes they know enough of the word to say, I just work out my own salvation. And then you want to say, well, how's that working out for you when you see the mess they've made? So we can't just serve the Lord in our own terms. I mean, church, you've got to read. I mean, every single day you have to read your Bible. Get you an easy reading Bible. Just yesterday morning, a young lady called me, a college girl, and she said, Pastor Paulette, do you have a Bible that I could borrow, an easy reading Bible? Do you have a Bible I could borrow or that I could have to read? And I said, no, I just don't loan out. I've never been asked that question. But these things are so personal to me. And I said, well, I'm going over to Visalia, but I'm going to buy you one. So I stopped and bought her the best Bible I knew. And she was coming home from college here, going back to Visalia. And so I met her on the side of the road and gave her that Bible. And so I'm thinking that she was probably driven to the word. Now, people are being driven to it today, you guys. So you got to pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. You say, well, I don't know if he talks to me. No, he does too. He leaves an impression upon you. He nudges us about certain things. And sometimes we just don't pay it any attention, not realizing that it is the Holy Spirit. And he's nudging us, and he's making an impression upon us, you know, that we need to maybe call a certain person. Just, it could be just something really simple, like call that person, encourage that man or that woman. So there's so many things that the Holy Spirit is doing right now. And all I want to say is, please read this. You know, get you one that you can understand. And I say that with grace, because we understand by the Holy Spirit. Now, Alice Cobbs told me the other day, she said, Alice is over 80 now, I think, and she said, I just finished reading the book of Revelation. And I said, really, Alice? I said, well, there's a big blessing coming on your life. And she said, oh, I'm already so blessed. But I heard you say that in church one day, that if we read the book of Revelation, we would be blessed. And God said that through John. So that's about Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. So you don't have to understand it. But if you want a blessing, just read through the book of Revelation. Will you get it all? No, because it was written for another dispensation of time way out in the future. Some of it's written spiritually. You know, I mean, it just says what it means, and it means what it says. And then some of it's written spiritually, you know, that you really, it comes by the Spirit. But just read that. You will also be blessed. One more thing. If some of you newer people to the Lord, you say, well, how do I know how it all started and what it's all about? Well, I would just tell you to start either reading in the book of Matthew or the book of John. And they'll both tell you how it all got started with the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, from the time he was born on. So go ahead and get that, and that would be good. But I'll tell you this, church, and I believe you're in agreement with me on this, but I am just so unwilling. I am just not willing. And I believe, I know you, most of you, I know you pretty good. And I understand and I know that you are not willing. You're not willing to let the culture come in here and change this church. We're just not going to let the culture of the world come in here and change us. It's already changed a lot of people. But it's sure trying to change the churches, and we can't even get started there. I just read today on CBN News, the Christian Broadcasting Network, where one of the Methodist churches, big Methodist church in Dallas, Texas, it pulled out of the Methodist church because they were standing for more than, you know, two genders. Okay, so they were standing up for abortion and all those things. And the church said, no, we can't do that. So they pulled out of that huge organization that they were with for years and years. And they're the first ones into a brand new network of churches. So it'll probably be a brand new independent bunch of people. But we're just not going to ride along with it. And it doesn't matter. We're just going to speak the truth. And you know, now there's been such a division, there's been such a crossover between politics and truth, they don't want us to speak truth. You can't say that. Oh, yes, we can say that because this says that. So as long as this says that, I will say this as the shepherd of this house. And I know you will too. So I'm just going to say, don't back up. Don't start anything. As Lula Hutchinson used to say, don't start nothing and there won't be nothing. Okay, so don't start it. But if something comes up, you can just go ahead and make your statement. Amen. So there's just so much to preach. Every time I step into this place, whether it's Sunday morning or even tonight, I know we're here. Rick, I loved your picture you put on Facebook. He had the little USB saying, be refreshed. And we're praying, Lord, okay, we're coming for a refreshment tonight. We sure need to be refreshed in the middle of the week. And so you, as pastors, you come in and you can preach salvation or sanctification or justification or healing or any doctrine, the coming of the Lord, divine healing, the coming back of the Lord Jesus. We teach grace and mercy and prosperity and blessing and judgment, and there's so many things to talk about, and we look at all those things, and even the way we live life, and we look at love and all the love that's to come out of us to others, and sometimes we don't consider how big love is because they asked Jesus what the greatest commandment was, and he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. Well, what's the second? And he said, oh, to love your neighbors yourself. And so we get a little lost sometimes in that because some people are just hard to love. But that doesn't give us any sense not to. Okay, so there's with all of that, With all of that said, you that have little ones, you know how they start them out school in counting to connect the dots. Remember helping your kids connect those dots? Well, they don't do that so much now because now they've got a lot of the, they've got all the number system together. They've got it together. So sometimes we're trying to connect the dots in the body of Christ and the Word of God and things that he said. But Jesus, when he preached, he kept it so very simple. He stunned the philosophers and the Sadducees and the Pharisees. He just literally stunned them. And Portia, you said, and I acknowledged it when you said it to me, Portia was talking about a young man at the state hospital when they worked there, and she said there were certain ones that had this deep gift within them, and she said Mike knew of one of the young men, and he would see the car drive up, and he would notice the license plate, and when the man got out of the car that worked maybe out there somewhere, he would recognize, and he would just be like a photographic memory, and he would know, they could say, well, what license plate is this number, da-da-da-da, and he'd say, oh, that's Joe, or what number is Porsche's license plate number? Well, it's this, and it was just like this. What is that? She said that some of them are so gifted with something like that. She says there is no one, there's not enough teaching that could teach them that. Am I saying that right? They, how did you say that?
Oh, you could not, especially, you know, if you are classified as mentally retarded, but you're also autistic, and usually it's an autistic ability, and they excel over anyone. I mean, they excel. They can do equations and mathematical equations. It's just unreal. And you think, how did you ever learn that? They don't learn it. I don't know. They don't learn it. It's there. Always there at a very young age.
I'm so glad you taught me that. I've been thinking about that ever since you said it. And I remember Scott Cupp, who played our piano back way back before Lendl. And the guy had been playing the piano like, I mean, he could play anything from Andre Crouch to old hymns to Chariots of Fire like Dino. He could play anything. And they said he was sitting on the piano bench doing that from 3 years old. And when you told me that, I'm thinking he couldn't have been taught. He couldn't have grasped that. But here's what I want to tell you guys. This will refresh us. See, God in this last day, see, that is supernatural. That supernatural didn't come from anyone. Surely, most probably didn't come from mom and dad for sure. But God said, I have some supernatural giftings that will pour into my people, and they'll have no idea how it got there outside of me. It'll just be something they didn't have in them, and all of a sudden they have it. And why is he going to give that? And it may be already in you. It just needs to be activated. So I just want to encourage you with that. That's another thing I've been praying for a couple of weeks. Lord, activate any gifting in me that you know is there that I really don't even know is there. So Holy Spirit, you be activated. And if you see one of those supernatural gifts in me, then get it. Why? Why would he want to do that for us? Because in this last hour, you guys, we're going to need stuff that we didn't have back there in the 60s. Even though that was a big day and way back when your grandpa was alive and all. No, no, no. This is a whole new day, and we're going to need that kind of ability. So what did Jesus say? Mark 1:14 and 15. Kathy, I had something for you, but it never got to you, I'm sure. Danny, run this back to her real quick because our time's getting away. Please. Just a couple of scriptures. I got four scriptures. Let's look at those real fast. Mark 1:14 and 15. This is so powerful, Jesus speaking. I'm sorry, Mark 1:14 and 15. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus did not really, I mean, he preached all those things I told you, but he didn't come preaching salvation. He didn't come saying be filled with the Spirit. He didn't come saying all these things. It says that he come preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Then saying and saying, the time is fulfilled. This is in red, which means I'm here now. Okay, so no more waiting. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand because I'm here. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe in the gospel. What is that? Keep it simple. What is the gospel? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. That is the gospel that you and I believe. So he said, repent of your sins because I forgave you. So repent and believe in the kingdom of God. That's it. All right, let's go to Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33. You all are so familiar with this, and I love it, but I want you to look at it. Matthew 6 is one of my favorite chapters in the whole book, I think, until I find another one. Look at Matthew 6:33. It's just so beautiful. But seek first what? He just told us repent and believe in the kingdom. Here he says, 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Why did he say that? Now, if you'll read the previous verses, he's talking about, he's telling these sweet people, because they're living in a really bad time, he's saying, don't worry. Don't worry about it. I know you guys don't have enough to wear. And I know you don't have enough money. And I know that things aren't going well. And I know you're being persecuted. But please don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. And he's talking about all this. And the word is, trust me. And then he connects all those dots that he's talking about in Matthew 6 with that. Now, he says, here's how you get through that and hold on. The common thread that will go through all of these things and connect all those dots will be seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or right standing with them. You can't just do your own thing. You want to be in right standing with God. And then I'll add to you all those things. I'll add the clothes. I'll add the food. I'll add the money. I'll add the job. I'll bring your lost child home. You just come after me. You just believe that I died and rose again for you and I'm coming back. Just believe the kingdom. Now, do you remember, and I just lost my thought on that, so let me act like I didn't and read verse 34. Therefore, do not worry. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. All right, thank you, Jesus. It just came back to me. Okay, when Jesus, he stayed up late into the night and prayed out in the wilderness. And then while the disciples were sleeping early in the morning, he got up early and he went and prayed again. And they saw Jesus coming back to where they were. And they said, Jesus, teach us to pray. We don't know how to pray like you. And he said, what? He opened his prayer with worship me. Say, our Father who art in heaven. That meant his Father and their Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, worship your name. Thy kingdom, thy will be on earth, just like it is in heaven. Now, you guys, when you pray in the morning, I want you to think about that. When you pray the Lord's Prayer in the morning or evening or whatever, think about that. When he says, pray God's kingdom come, his will be done on earth like it is in heaven. Well, what would the kingdom of heaven be like? We live in the kingdom of God. I mean, I met with him just before I got here, and I went and got my secret place, and I said, Lord, help me to speak out of your kingdom tonight. Help me to speak out of you. I live in you. My life is hid with Christ in God. Help us to speak out of you, to love out of you, to talk out of you, and we don't always. You know why we don't? Because we forget. We forget where we are. My daughter says to me not too long ago, she says, Mom, I'll be down at that cancer center, and she's with the most hurting, and the patients just come through so many a day when the cancer count is high, and it's a very tedious job. It can be brain cancer or lung or anything else, and she says sometimes I get tired toward the end of the day, and I'll think it'll just be a little while, and I'll get to go home into my house, and I'll get to sit there with my family, my babies, and my husband, and I'll get to have coffee there, and I'll be sitting there in a little while. What is she doing? She's thinking of her comfort place. And that's what God is saying to us, you guys. I know down here it gets crazy in our lives. We all have different things. But there comes a time where you get weary and you get tired. And that's why Jesus sat down at the well. And so when you get weary, you just put your mind. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Seek, put your affection on things of God and not on things of the earth. So when you get weary, Jesus said, think about what's a kingdom of heaven? We know what the kingdom of God is. We preach that. But he said, the kingdom of heaven, whoo, man, in heaven is total peace, total joy, no mess. The atmosphere is, I don't know what the atmosphere is. I mean, they're all clothed in righteousness. Literally, their robes are righteousness. That's probably what Adam was clothed in, was total righteousness. He probably didn't have clothes on. He had righteousness on, and then he lost it when he turned away from God. But anyway, wow. Put it all together. Jesus brought it all together, saying, don't worry, I got this. So we're living in it. All right. Look at Matthew 6:23. I've got one more after this. Matthew 6:23. I'm going to tell you something. What Jesus was talking about there in Matthew 6, totally different than anything the world has to offer. Totally everything is different. In the Old Testament, it was Jews and Gentile. It was Jews, and then there was everybody else. If you didn't believe like them, you weren't in their law, then it was you were Jew, and then you were everybody else. And today, it's almost like that, you guys. It's those who believe God. It's us, the Gentile people. Now it's us and everybody else. And they have their own way. America has a dark side to her now. America, we're hearing about dark money. We're hearing about a dark agenda. So America has a dark side that we're seeing rise up. But you and I have the light of the world. Look at Matthew 6. Let me read that, verse 23. Look at this. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So don't let your eye get bad. Don't set your eyes upon things you shouldn't look at. I mean, get it off quickly. If you see something, if you feel tempted to go do something, get away from it quickly, because it says, man, if you let that eye go dark, your whole body will go dark. You hear me say it all the time. If you let down your guard in one area, you'll let it down in all areas. And then it's a destroying power that comes against you. All right, we have the light of the world, so let me close with Romans 14:17 to wrap up everything I've said. Romans, look at this, 14:17. This just tidies up. Rick, I'm going to call this tonight Kingdom Life. I know it's too much to put on internet to be a message, but it is a little devotional, I guess. So it's usually what I do on Wednesdays. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God, look at this, it's not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, he wants us to be good. He wants us to live upright before him. He wants you and I to have peace in our mind, our soul, in our spirit, our homes. Excuse me, that's his plan for us. Peace. Peace is all over heaven. Righteousness is all over heaven. And then he says, I want you to have joy in the Holy Ghost. I want you to have that joy. And then one writer said, joy unspeakable and full of glory. I mean, that's a big old joy right there. So, Father, we thank you tonight for Kingdom Life. I thank you for your glory Lord, you've not only promised us these things, but you make them happen. So, Lord, thank you for this kingdom we live in down here. Lord, I thank you for the kingdom of heaven there. And, Lord, you said pray that you have a little bit of heaven on earth. And, Lord, we pray that as we live in your kingdom. So, Lord, help us be reminded every day because we're so human. Humanity comes out of us that we forget that we're living in the kingdom. And we don't want to do that, Lord. We want to be as Sarah said, and many around here feel that. They could relate to what she said. I'll go home. What's that? That's our palace. It's where we live. We look forward to going back there. And so, Lord, tonight, I thank you that we know we live in your kingdom. What a blessing. What a blessing. Lord, that's bigger than a blessing to know that you've provided your kingdom for us to live in, talk in, sleep in. We love you, Lord. Amen. Could you join me in prayer for a few minutes? Come on.